मह्यं दधाति शपदांकितं वन्देहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगनागगनसान्वितं संसजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं प्रजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगनावदिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते सप्ताकांशन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दवनेश्वरी वृषभनुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हृदि प्रिये वांशाकोपितृभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धोभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे इति तच्चिन्तयन् अन्तः प्राप्तो निजगृहान्तिकम्. So he was thinking to himself. Chintayan means thinking. Antaha, within himself. You can picture the scene. He's just visited the Lord in Dwarka, and now he's coming home, and he's reviewing in his mind what happened. Aho brahmanya devasya drishta brahmanyata maya yad daridratamo lakshmim ashlishto vibrato rasi. He is the brahmanya deva, and now I've personally seen how he's devoted to the Brahmins. He keeps the goddess of fortune on his chest, but he's embraced a poor Brahmin like me. Kvaham daridra papi yan kod krishna sri niketana brahmabandhur iti smaham bahubhyam parirambita. Kvaham, who am I? Daridra papiyam, papiyam, a poor man and sinful. Generally, if someone's poor, it's a result of his sinful reactions. So he's thinking, I'm a poor, sinful Brahmin. Kva Krishna? And who is Krishna? Sriniketan, the abode of the goddess of fortune. Brahmabandhur iti smaham. I'm just a friend of a Brahmin. That means not really like the friend of a scholar. Means the other man's the scholar, I'm not the scholar. So friend of a Brahmin. But bahubhyam parirambita, he's embraced me by his arms. Nivasita priya drishte priyanke bhataro yata mahishya vijita shanto balabhyajana hastaya. He treated me as if I were one of his brothers, and he made me sit on the very bed of his dear consort. And because I was tired, she personally fanned me with the chamra. Shushrushaya padamaya pada sangva anadhi pujito deva devena vipra devena deva bhat. He's the Lord of all the demigods. He's the object of worship for all the Brahmins. But he worshipped me as if I were a demigod. And he massaged my feet and rendered humble services. Svargapa vargayo pumsam masayam bhuvisam padam sarvasam api siddhanam mulam tach charanarchanam. Devotional service to his lotus feet is the cause of all perfections one can find in heaven, in liberation, in the subterranean regions, and on earth. Who is Krishna? This is Krishna. Adanoyam dhanam prapya madhyan uchchayar madhyan uchchayar namam smaret iti karuniko nunam dhanam me bhurinadadat. Krishna is so merciful, karunika, that he thought that this poor wretched Brahmin, if he suddenly becomes rich, will forget me. He'll just become so happy that now I've got money and he'll forget about me. That's the tendency when one gets opulence, one becomes intoxicated. And then he forgets about the source of his opulence, Krishna. So the Lord is so merciful that thinking in that way, he didn't give me even a little bit of wealth. Of course, I didn't ask, but he could have given me something. But he was so merciful that he didn't give me anything. He's kept me humble, so that's very good. So the Brahmin is moving toward home and thinking that way. And then he gets home, and it's all astonishing. Prapta nijagraham, he came to his own home, Antikam, to that area, and everything had changed. There were beautiful palaces that looked like they were effulgent, like the sun or the moon or like fire. There were birds and pools of water with lotus flowers and handsome servants and women with doe eyes. That means the women were also very beautiful. So, kim idam, what's this? Kasya va stanam, and whose place is this? Katam tat idam iti abhut. And how has it become like this? First he looked at it and said, what's this? Then he saw it's a celestial palace complex. And he thought, who does this belong to? And then he understood, this belongs to me. How did that happen? So he's astonished, completely astonished. So this is the mercy of Krishna, that he bestowed all of these opulences on his friend Sudama, knowing that Sudama, unlike what Sudama was thinking, would not be affected by any amount of opulence. He would remain situated in Krishna consciousness. There was a similar incident, similar in some ways, that some fruit seller was calling out, if anyone wants fruits, come on, anyone wants fruits, come on. You see these people in the streets of India and some other places. You just call out the name of the fruit, and people who are interested come and take. So Krishna approached the fruit seller, and keeping some rice in his palm, because it's not always that you have to pay money, but by exchange, giving something, you have some rice, you get some fruit, you have some fruit, you give some rice. So Krishna took some rice in his palms and began crawling toward the fruit seller to get some fruit. And by the time he reached the fruit seller, all the rice had slipped out of his palms. But the fruit seller was so enchanted that she gave him, loaded him up with fruits. She loaded him up with fruits. And then when she looked back at her basket, she saw that where fruit had been, now it's all jewels. So this is Krishna. He's the source of all opulence. And when one serves Krishna, he becomes opulent. He may not always become materially opulent, because Krishna is considerate. He doesn't always give opulence. If opulence would stand in the way of the devotee's progress, then he may withhold opulence. Or sometimes he may withhold opulence to glorify the devotee. He withheld the kingdom from the Pandavas for so many years. So he's independent. He can do as he likes. But he can enrich the devotee materially. Of course, if Krishna gives riches, then those riches are not material. Actually, nothing is material. But the materialists are mistaking it for matter, for something. Matter means something for them to exploit, something for them to claim as their own, something for them to exploit, something for them to use for happiness, which can't be achieved. That's matter. It's Krishna's energy, but when seen with one kind of consciousness, it becomes matter. And when seen with another kind of consciousness, it becomes spirit. So these opulence was given by Krishna and seen by Sudama with spiritual vision. One lesson from this pastime is, if you want your husband to be opulent, push him toward Krishna. Okay, any questions? Or comments?
Thank you, Maharaj. Why does Krishna have these pastimes? Why is it these pastimes in the Bhagavatam if we can become attracted and think, well, if I worship Krishna, I'll get opulence? Obviously, Sudama or the fruit seller, they didn't fall into that trap, but when we hear it, we think, oh, it's bona fide, it's in the Bhagavatam that I can worship Krishna and get opulence. I mean, we sort of fall into the trap by having these things there. Why are they there?
Of course, that's a good trap. Now, you know, I could become opulent by multi-level marketing or by growing marijuana in California and selling it in Florida, or I can become opulent by stock investment or this or that. Now I'm thinking that way. But if I serve Krishna, I'll become opulent. Well, that's good. That's better. And for one who's more advanced, he'll think that Sudama got all this opulence, but the real opulence was love for Krishna. That was his greatest opulence. Another comment or question? Yes.
So you meant that If one is poor, it's considered like bad karma. So that's one. But then,
say it again.
If someone is poor, it's considered like bad karma.
Yes.
And then we find that some people just embrace poverty. They were pretty wealthy, but they embrace it. Is that karma in any way too?
Someone's wealthy, but they embrace poverty. You mean they voluntarily become poor?
Yeah. So,
because wealth is also frustrating. Someone is poor is frustrated because he has no money. And someone wealthy is frustrated because he has money and still he's unhappy. In the 1960s, we had the hippies who were opulent. You know, they came from good families. They had comfortable homes. And they went and lived like vagabonds because they weren't happy. And then as vagabonds also, they weren't happy. That's the material world. Is that okay?
Lord Kapila tells his mother, Devahuti, that the devotee engaged in devotional service, he gets all these opulences, and he goes to the point where he says, nothing can take away any of these opulences, no matter what the devotee does, as long as he's engaged in devotional service. And I know that sometimes devotees, because they're impoverished, they have this funny idea that maybe if they had money, that then they wouldn't be as miserable. And then once in a while, somebody dies, and then they inherit money. And then the big surprise is they get the money, and they're even more miserable than they were when they were impoverished. Just because with that brings so much. You meet all your family members that you hadn't known for years, and it becomes really, really hard. But if we engage ourselves in devotional service and keep our focus on devotion, then we won't really be so distracted by these things. You can imagine coming home to what he came home to. Must have.
Yeah, material opulence is maya. Maya means that which isn't what it seems to be. Along with that maya comes so much trouble. And it doesn't bring satisfaction. Therefore, the wealthiest people are still dissatisfied. And worse, because now what? The poor man at least can think, I'll become rich and I'll become happy. The wealthy man is already rich. Now what? Yeah, you can only lose it, or you can, you know, so then they'll spend for women, they'll spend for wine, they'll spend for drugs, they'll spend for this, they'll spend for that, and still they'll be unhappy. So it's worse because there's no higher place to go to that they see. Very frustrating. Yes.
Just a comment. I read ahead a little bit, and Sudama, when he got home, he continued to sleep on the floor. He never got slept on the floor. So that was his different.
Sudama continued to sleep on the floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the floor.
Mm. Yes.
So in this lila, we see that Sudama becomes opulent materially, but it's not actually his real opulence.
It's not actually
his real opulence. His real opulence is that he's Krishna's friend.
Yes.
And he's very devoted to Krishna. So how can we attain that rather than this material opulence?
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. Our whole process is for achieving that opulence. Nothing, you know, I have nothing new to bring in. I just, you know, got in touch with someone and found out how to do it. Prabhupada's given us the process. We follow the process. And if we follow sincerely and strictly, then we come to that point. Utsaham is jayatara.
But this opulence of material opulence, Krishna gives easily. Krishna gives this material opulence more easily than he gives...
Material opulence? Yes, that's described. devotional service is very rarely given pure devotional service. And material opulence he can give. That's easier. Doesn't compromise, he doesn't have to give himself. But by pure devotional service he becomes purchased. So rarely. And not cheaply. Not that Krishna gives himself just because one makes a show of being a devotee, but one genuinely has to have love for Krishna, then Krishna will give himself. But one thing is that this opulence is not material. The opulence given directly by Krishna is also spiritual opulence. Although it may appear to be material, but it is spiritual. Because it's given by Krishna. Something else?
In this day and age, the normal person realizes they're probably not going to become rich, but there is a carrot that is offered nowadays, the lottery. So most everybody kind of lives like, I may be miserable now, but I'm going to win the lottery.
The lottery is for the biggest fools. It's a scam of the first order, and especially it's often presented as being something sponsored to uplift the poor, to provide for the poorest people who, you get this big, bring in the money by selling lottery tickets, then you can spend it for education, you can spend it for social upliftment, welfare programs and all of that, and that's all rubbish, because the odds of winning the lottery are so small that only fools, stupid, uneducated people buy lottery tickets. And those are the people that are supposedly the objects of the welfare work. So it's just a scam. You steal the poor people's money in the name of helping the poor. And then, of course, the money goes here and there and everywhere. So our principle is no gambling. You just make yourself poor. Winning the lottery is foolishness. Yeah. Whatever. If you don't play, you can't win. There's a billboard. If you don't play, you can't win. But the other billboard is, if you don't play, can't lose. And your mind doesn't get twisted out of shape. I might win. I could win the lottery. Even if you win the lottery, you won't be happy. That's a fact. But even the chances of winning are so remote. And the chances of losing are practically 100%. As soon as you've spent the ticket for the lottery, that much money is immediately gone. It's not, you have a chance of losing it, you've lost it. That's foolishness. Therefore, we have our principle, no gambling. Lottery is pocket gambling. And the state sponsors it in Kali Yuga. In Maharaj Yudhisthira's time, Parikshit's time, they drove out all these things. There was no place for gambling, there was no place for meeting, there was no place for intoxication, there was no place for illicit sex. And now the state sponsors it. Shesh Prabhu, you want to repeat that?
You're saying historically, in this country, in the United States, about 100 years ago, around the turn of the 1900, lotteries were presented but banned by governments as being bad influences for the people.
We were better off then?
Yeah, we were better off then. Yeah. So now it's sponsored, as you said, in the States.
Oh yeah, it's just this way, that way, and the other way to extract money, and then it goes here and it goes there. It's really sad. And the government is sponsoring all these sinful activities. One time I was walking with Srila Prabhupada near 2nd Avenue in New York, and as we rounded the corner, there was a church, and on the church was a big sign, bingo. And Prabhupada said, "What is this bingo?" I said, "Well, it's a kind of gambling, Srila Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, they allow. I said, "Well, they sponsor it." Prabhupada just shook his head. Gambling, intoxication. He just shook his head. How fallen they've become.
Maharaj? In Bhagavatam, beginning one purport, Prabhupada says, Jiva Sukhanishi, pleasure seeking by nature. So can it be seen that way, that how in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that Bhajyas Parsyeshu Ashoktamana Bindati Atmani Jat Sukham Sabrahma Yoga Jukta Atma Sukham Akshayam Ashmita. That Vipra Sudama was continuous remembering Krishna's relationship as a friend in Gurukul and all, that he was drawing so much pleasure that he was indifferent to the material necessities.
Yeah, otherwise he would have approached Krishna, that as his wife had suggested, that when you, that Krishna's your friend, you can approach him and you can ask him, you can tell him how poor you are and ask for some help. But he didn't want to do that. He thought, anyway, you know, by my karma, I'm poor, and why should I bother Krishna for these things? But Krishna took the initiative.
So he was not really suffering.
No. Sukham akshayam ashmante. He was enjoying. He was enjoying. It outwardly appeared that he was suffering. And the materialists, outwardly they appear to be enjoying, but inwardly they're suffering. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.